Blog Talk Radio.
Incredible, unforgettable. Open your mind, take in all of the delectables. Topics ranging from marriage to politics. Only the grown and mature can handle this. Please, they gon' change it from blog talk to hot talk. Real talk, real response, non-stop. Only talk radio keeps it moving. Wednesdays, 9:30 p.m. Please tune in. Well. In the beautiful. It's incredible. It's incredible. You hear it.
Hello. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Art of Intimacy Show. I am your host, Ms. Incredible.
And I am Rel, the Black Dr. Phil. And we are AOI and Company.
Hey, now.
Hey now, where my AOI is at? My AOI is at. I was in the studio making an AOI song. Where my AOI is at? My AOI is at. I'm coming up with something. Need a little anthem or something. But we can't change our intro and our outro, so we gotta get like an
absolutely
anthem.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Definitely gotta get an anthem going on. One thing, the weather been hot and warm and humid. New York City. Sheesh.
Yes.
Be like three showers.
Go ahead.
Be four showers. Been warm.
It has been nasty.
I think we missed the heat wave, though. I don't think it's been enough days in a row over 90. I think it dropped to 87 or something.
Don't speak it into existence. Come on now. Don't do it, especially for those that have to take the subway. Like, you know, it's already hot and humid above ground, and once you go into them tunnels, ooh-wee. Crazy.
And people don't be washing. People be living under there. The subway, the
packed
tunnels.
On the trains. Mm-hmm.
Not a good look.
Yep.
All that money you pay, too.
Exactly.
All that money you pay. But anyway, sports. Let me see what's going on. We got the Major League Baseball All-Star game was yesterday, actually. So they're pretty much halfway through the baseball season. So now you'll start hearing me update you on baseball. I don't pay attention to the first half. They play 162 games, so so 80-something games or whatever has gone by so far. And the American League beat the National League, so that would mean the Yankees, they're in the American League. I'll start updating you on
that. No, I know that.
On baseball going forward. Serena Williams a few days ago. She won the Wimbledon again. Again. She is definitely underrated as an athlete and a sports figure. In all sorts of forms of fashion. She threw up the fist. She threw up the fist, what do you want to call it? The Black Power fist, the Black
Pride
fist, whatever fish you want to call it, everybody got a different label for it nowadays, but you know what I mean. So, that was that. some NBA stars also was calling out each other in lieu of the whole Black Lives Matter and police brutality thing going on across our country. So you had that going on in sports too. It's an emotional time in our country right now. But as you can see, from Serena Williams to Carmelo Anthony to all these different sports figures is speaking out on the state of our country now regarding racism and police brutality and Black Lives Matter and All Lives Matter and all that. So. But that's sports
right.
for you, sister. That's sports for you.
That's sports. That's sports. Go ahead, Serena. Well, in other news, reported this morning there were 3 men critically wounded in a shooting that was caught on Facebook Live. I think we talked about this last week a little bit about people doing stuff on Facebook Live and how things can get caught on there that, you know, you weren't expecting. So they got caught. They were wounded in a shooting and caught on Facebook Live while sitting inside of a car in near Norfolk, Virginia. They just critically wounded. None of them has passed on, but it's still a crying shame. I think the recording was over an hour. Once the guy that was holding the phone was wounded, the phone fell, and you can just hear everything going on in the background. Extremely sad.
For a whole hour?
An hour, yeah, until it cut off. His phone, the battery probably died. I don't know how long you're allowed to be on, to go live on Facebook, but it recorded, from what they say, for about an hour. So hopefully they make a full recovery. And you mentioned something earlier about the Major League Baseball game, the All-Star game. Well, a Canadian group called the Tenors sang the national anthem of Canada yesterday at the game. During the song, one of the group members decided to change some of the lyrics to All Lives Matter. He slid that in there. He appears to have acted alone. The rest of the group was kind of shocked and embarrassed that he used the game to serve his own political views. And they said he will not be performing with the group until further notice.
So he changed the words of the Canadian national anthem?
National anthem, yes.
And slipped in All Lives Matter?
Yes, he did.
Wow. Wow. And see, that leads us into our topic tonight. Because that, to me, that action right there is, I would want to ask him if in the last week or two, however long it's been, if everything wasn't about Black Lives Matter, would you have said All Lives Matter? And I'm going to go out on a limb and say this person would say no. So to me, that's like a direct or subliminal towards anyone saying Black Lives Matter. And that's
right.
Where I think All
exactly.
Lives Matter, and that's where I think...
That's apparent. Like, we know. We know All
right.
Lives Matter. But
right.
all other
right.
lives aren't getting shot down like dogs in the street.
Right.
So...
And you can say All Lives Matter. There's nothing wrong with saying that. It's the context of when you're saying it, you know, and how you're doing it. You know, like slipping it into the Canadian national anthem. First of all, it's the Canadian national anthem. That's it's not even the United States, you know, national anthem. So
right,
it
and it's happening
that,
here.
Right, exactly. So that's a direct insult, if you want to call it that. Now, if you got someone that is, there's people out here that in their life, naturally, their life is about peace. That's how they live their life, you know. They're naturists. It's peace, you know. Animals, humans, races, whatever you call it, it's peace. that type of person saying all lives matter is a different. And I think that's what those who are saying all lives matters and preaching all lives matters, I think that's what those type of people have to understand. Right now is not the time to be saying all lives matter if you're not naturally saying that every day of your life or you're not living your life that way. It's not the
right
time, because you're only saying it as a reaction to people saying black lives matter. And if you black doing that, if you black doing that, and I want to be clear here too, I'm not saying, I don't know much about the Black Lives Matters movement, the official, you know, who founded it, what they, I don't know much about it, but I know that in general, what they're doing is standing up against racism in the police force. That's it. That's what they're doing. So without me knowing anything in depth about Black Lives Matters movement, I do know it's racism in America. So I'm going to try to understand their point of view. So if you black and you saying all lives matter as a reaction to another black person saying black lives matter, you need to take a step back and try to understand why they're saying black lives matter, because racism
absolutely
still exists.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Jeez. Fired up.
Absolutely.
You gotta keep me calm.
Well, I have a couple questions for you.
Okay.
And for those that are tuning in online or who are on the phone, if you what's the caller number? 323-870-4010. If you'd like to be placed in queue to speak, just press 1. We would definitely like to hear your views on this topic. But as a black man, what challenges do you face daily? Just give us some insight.
Challenges I face daily in regards to racism, you're saying?
Right.
Or
just a black man in general.
Well, I'll tell you this. I produce events, you know, comedy shows, you know, different type of events, teen events, things of that nature. I face racism in my daily life. You know, I've purposely tried to book a venue that I knew wouldn't book me because of the color of my skin, and had someone else go right behind me, same age, same spiel, you know what I mean? And they were white, and they got in and I didn't, you know. And I've done that several times. So just in the workforce and employment alone, I mean, in my life of doing customer service work, that's what I, you know, do as a 9-to-5 in general most of my life. I faced it there, where you know, promotions was given to someone who was white instead of myself, you know, when I was clearly more qualified, you know, things of that
right
nature. So those type of things, you know, always exist. And you know what's funny? I used to be naive to that. I used to be naive to it. So as you get older, you really start to realize, you know, I used to be naive to that. But, you know, I sensed it then. Now that I'm older, I see it clearly, you know. I see it clearly. Just walking down the street, I spend a lot of time in a lot of white neighborhoods. Sometimes I'm dressed in a suit and tie. Sometimes I'm dressed in a sweatpants and a T-shirt. It's just whatever I'm doing that day. But I've sensed it. I recently was in a white neighborhood in New Jersey, Princeton, New Jersey. Right, a little shopping plaza, and I had a card already in an envelope already. I needed a stamp. Actually, it was a card for my son. I needed a stamp to send it to him. Right, and I went into like a little stationery card store. You know, like a little small family owned stationery card store. And I was like, man, maybe they got stamps because they sell cards. So I had the card in my hand. I walked in there. And it was two white ladies online at the counter, but nobody was behind the counter. So I went behind the lady, and I was third in line. And I'm looking around like, the person that's supposed to be in the counter, you know. We were like the only people in the store. So I think the lady that was behind the counter was getting something off one of the shelves for one of the ladies that was waiting. So she came back behind the counter, and they began to do their transactions, and I'm standing there, and I actually was on a time limit. I was in a rush. So I'm standing there, and I'm like, they taking so long. All I want is a stamp. I didn't really want to scream over nobody and be like, you got stamps? You know what I mean? I was just going to wait online and ask for a stamp. So I'm standing there. It's taking too long. I'm like, so I knew in this little shopping plaza there was like a UPS store. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to just walk over to the UPS store. They have to have stamps. So I walk out the store. I walk out, and I proceed to the UPS store. And this white man comes running out behind me, and he's like, sir, you need that? You need that? Like that. And for a split second, I didn't know what he was talking about. Then I realized he thinks that I took this card out the store. Mind you, the card is in the envelope sealed. It's all filled out already. I bought it in the store. And I said, and I looked at him, and you know what? I'm not a confrontational person at all. I'm not confrontational. Right. It takes a lot to get me like that. I was like what? And like, like I yelled, you know what I mean? And kind of waved the card at him like, this is mine, you know, and went off to the UPS store.
Wow.
I felt like if I was a white man walking out the store, he wouldn't have ran behind me. I felt like if I was a white man walking out the store, they would have already known and acknowledged that I was in the store. To not even take a glance of me walking out the store and assume, because he might have really thought I was taking it. He might have seen me at the last minute walking out the store. But I believe that if I was a white man, the moment I walked into the store and was standing behind them ladies, they would have gotten me some attention. She would have said something to me, like maybe even
she would have
been like, I'll
you.
Be right with you. Yeah, yeah. So I think, you know, that was recent, and I'm just like, ugh. You know, it's no doubt in my mind it's because I'm black. I'm in this area, not too many, you know. So that was something that happened recently.
It's definitely bothersome. I was on the subway a couple of weeks ago, and seat became available. Actually, a seat was available when I stepped onto the train. And it was a white older woman. She was sitting in a seat near the pole, near the door. I sat beside her, but, you know, there's sometimes where you have to sit close to someone and you're touching them. And there's times where there's maybe a little space in between. Well, there was a little space in between. But you would have thought that... I had, like, bugs crawling all over me the way she was trying to become one with the pole next to her. Like, you can clearly see that she was doing everything in her power not to touch me.
Yeah.
So I kind of, like, closed in on the space next to her. I felt, if you want to be uncomfortable, let me just make you all the way uncomfortable. You're on a subway, and people are going to be near you. So I didn't feel like it was just people that she didn't want to be touched, that she didn't want to touch her. I felt like she didn't want me to touch her because I was black.
Wow.
So I touched her.
Wow.
Sure did.
Yep.
Thighs was right up against her. You're on a subway. Take a cab.
Right.
Take a
and
cab.
I'm sure...
You cannot avoid that on public transportation.
Right. Right. And she obviously is someone that takes the subway. So...
Right.
She knows that. So she knows that. And I
exactly.
bet she does that to every black person. If she can, she'll move to the next car, move over three seats, anything, to be away.
It's like, on to the next question. do you think the black man is feared?
I don't know if feared is the right word. I don't know if fear is the right word, but I know where you, I know what you, what you, what you mean. You know, it's hard for me to say the black man is feared because the black man is a minority right now. Black man is being killed by police. Black man is killing each other. So who fearing? You know, in reality, ain't nobody scared of them. You know, I don't know. I'm going to say no. The black man is not feared, but the black man is the bottom of the totem pole, you know, so to speak. The black man is, in America, there's racism. There's always been racism. It's just a different form right now of racism. So it's a lot of subconscious racism, too, because it's generations passed down. So there's a lot of,
right.
For example, let me give an, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I just said it's taught.
Oh, yeah, right. It's taught. Exactly. It's taught. And I'm going to give an example from the recent, what's the guy's name? I think it's Alton Sterling. That's the, yeah. Okay. That situation right there, regardless of what those cops' background was or if, you know, anything that happened, I truly, I don't think they rolled up on a scene saying we're going to kill a black guy. I can't
right.
go out and say that. You know what I mean? But what I do believe is that whenever they realized that it was a black guy they were approaching, whether it was on the radio before they got there and they knew, oh, this is a black guy, or whether it was when they pulled up and seen him that this was a black guy, subconsciously they treated him differently than they would have a white man. If they knew it was a white man beforehand on the radio, we got a Caucasian out here doing whatever. Or when they rolled up and seen that they were white. Subconsciously, they handled the situation different. And that's part of racism. It's taught that black is negative or black is wrong. You treat it differently. Even myself. Forget everybody else. Even myself, I'm putting myself out there, too. That's why there's a lot of black-on-black crime. People that want to say, you know, we got to police ourselves or we got to stop killing ourselves so they look at us differently. No, even we look at ourselves differently and subconsciously do stuff to one another because we black. You know, I catch myself. I've caught myself at times say to myself, I'm more scared of a black man walking down an alleyway with me than I am a white man.
That's
why
what I
that?
Mean by fear. That's what I mean by fear. Is,
right.
Is he feared? Like, is a black man feared by police officers? Do they fear the black man? Like, do you? That's what I mean by fear. I wouldn't say that I feel that way because the black person, I would feel that way if I'm intimidated by the person, maybe by the way they're dressed, if they have a hood on, or if their pants are around their damn ankles and they just look like they're into the streets, I don't give a damn what color you are. I don't even have to see your face. I'm afraid. I'm scared. I think that, you know, you would do me some harm, whether you're black or white, Indian, it doesn't matter. It's
right.
really based on your appearance. So we do, I mean, to a certain degree, I think we discriminate. We all do. But it doesn't necessarily have to do with race for me.
Right. Right. And when you say that's what you mean by fear, do the police fear the black man? I think it's a combination. I don't think that with the police, I don't think that is necessarily fear first of the black man. I think it's the overall culture of the police department across America. I don't care what state or what city you're in. And I don't even care if you're black and you're a police officer, because it's the culture of it. So they're taught, they're subconsciously thinking black as negative, not necessarily fear, because you know, if there's a petty you know, theft or a little a shoplifting, and it's the choices of the black guy did it or the white guy did it. Subconsciously, any cop is going to think the black guy did it, not because they feared, just because that's what it is in this country. So, but yes, there are situations where they're feared also, you know. So I think it's a combination of, you know, when you get into situations,
so you're automatically guilty.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Now, I think that they do fear black men if they feel that the way they're dealing with this black man is something serious. Like, for instance, the Alton Sterling thing, supposedly he was supposed to, they were said that he had a weapon. The same thing with the young man in the car with his girlfriend. They were saying there was a weapon or whatever. Now, in those situations, I think you're right. Fear comes in those situations, along with racism. And that's when,
okay. That's
why they're shooting. That's why they shoot, because they're scared, they're afraid of the black man, and the subconscious racist in them is, I got to save my life. When in all reality, you didn't have to save your life. He wasn't
right.
going to shoot you. That black man wasn't going to shoot
not
you,
only that,
but subconsciously. Go ahead.
You don't have to. I mean, there are other ways. Like, what happened to the taser? Why can't they tase them? If you tase somebody, more than likely they're going down.
Right.
So why reach for the gun first? Because you don't feel like the taser is a big enough threat. Oh, if you don't put your hands where I can see them, I'm going to zap you. That doesn't work for you.
Right. Right.
At what age were you stopped by the police for the first time?
Oof. I can't remember, but young. Very young.
What was the reason? What was the excuse they gave you for stopping you?
Fit the description. I can't remember exactly how old I was, but I was very young, probably like 12 or 13 maybe. And I remember, I think they said somebody purse or something, some lady purse or something got stolen out the subway. Somebody ran or something. I fit the description, basically. Yeah.
Wow.
It was so long ago. Right. I fit the description.
Were you alone?
Yep. I was alone. I wasn't even on the train. I wasn't, you know where I was at? I was walking from Tremont and I was walking from Echo Park across the concourse coming to Davidson. You know how the D train is right there on the concourse, Tremont
right.
stop. So I wasn't on the train all day, nothing. I was in Echo Park all day long. I was going home, walking back. Didn't even walk past the steps of the train station or nothing. And cops came running up, and like two cars came, you know, with the lights on and everything. And I'm like, and mind you, I know they probably thought I was older than what I really was. I was only
right.
like 13, maybe even 12. I was just all out and about at that age and looked more mature and looked older than I was. But they stopped me, said I fit the description, basically patted me down, and left. Didn't say nothing else after that. You fit the description. A purse got stolen out in the train station and moved off.
I have no idea what they did to your mental. That's crazy.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Nothing. I'm just getting emotional because thinking about it is making my heart beat all fast.
Right.
Now that I think back.
We're going to go over to the phone lines now. Fully, your number ends in 8661. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hello, good evening. This is Johnny Prince. How y'all doing? What's going on?
Hey. Mm.
Yo. What up, good brother?
Ain't nothing good, brother. Ain't nothing good, sister. I'm glad y'all decided to talk about this important topic. You know, it's unfortunate that we continuously go through this and, you know, it's like it's heartbreaking, and you know, I'm upset, man. I'm upset, and I'm emotions is crazy, and, you know, and I'm not the only person. I know we all emotional. We all upset. We all sad, and it's like, here we go again. And, you know, people really don't know what to do.
Right.
It's crazy, man. I think we just need to just...
Hey, Johnny, let me ask you a question. Yeah. Let me ask you a question, because I want to say I don't know what word I want to use, but your opinion on things like this mean a lot to me. Let me say that.
Okay.
Let me preface this by saying that. And
appreciate that.
I don't know if you know or not, but you've taught me a lot about just being a little bit more conscious. You know what I'm saying? So let me ask you your opinion on, what's your opinion on the Black Lives Matter movement? Like the official Black Lives Matter movement.
The Black Lives Matter movement. Oh, man. Black lives do matter, yes. But, you know, it gives people this false hope and this false type of strength. You know, what we're up against is this oppressor is, you know, it's a monster. And we don't have, you know, what it takes to physically beat this monster. They're just bigger than us. I'm talking about as far as military, you know, there's just, you know, the government, federal, you know, we just cannot beat them physically. We don't have enough guns, ammo, and that other stuff. With this Black Lives Matter movement, it gives this notion that, okay, we deserve rights. We are equal. We are, you know, we are human. We are deserving. When in all reality, you know, actually, ain't nobody got to give you shit. And that's just what they continuously say when they kill us. Listen, you niggas don't mean shit. Don't you get it by now? All
right?
You niggas do not mean shit. Fuck your Black Lives Matter. Fuck your All Lives Matter. So what people, the marching, it doesn't do any, this again, they don't care. It doesn't affect the infrastructure of the oppressor of the system. You know what I'm saying? The marching is good for this disruption. Fuck it. We got to disrupt them. It's good. We can disrupt them, whatever. All right? But as far as affecting the infrastructure of the system, it don't do anything. So people need to understand that. So we can march in Kumbaya and it can be peaceful. We already know peaceful protesters get arrested and beat up as well. So, again, you know, when you look at that, it don't mean anything. So I think what it is what we got to do is educate ourselves. Stop, fall back, educate. Okay, how to beat these people? How to beat this system? Okay, when ain't nobody going to run up in no precinct and just start shooting cops. We're not going to do that. All
right?
So, let's see. Money. Okay. You have no wealth. You know, black people don't own anything. We don't have any wealth. We have a lot of money to spend, but we don't have wealth like white people do. Like that white infrastructure. You know, we don't have Walmarts. We don't have BPs. We don't have any chains. We don't own anything of that. So, two things that hurts the oppressor: loss of life, loss of funds. Okay, again. We're not going to start just shooting white people all over the place. We're not going to collectively do that. But what we collectively can do is remove our dollar. We don't have to spend in their stores. You know what I'm saying? We can boycott. We can take our money out of their banks, out of their infrastructure. We can take a day off of work or 2 days off of work if we can. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about like all of us, like collectively. If we just stop spending our money in their institutions, that will crumble their economy. And I don't, and people, that's again, for you to understand that, for people to understand that, they just have to educate themselves. If I take, I'm not talking about your job, I'm talking about if your income was removed right now, let a month go by with no money, no income, and see what the hell happens to you. Anybody. They'll fucking go crazy, they'll lose their mind. They wouldn't know what to do. You know what I'm saying? It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Again, we're not going to be. We don't have enough. We don't have enough manpower to go up against the police force. What we have our money, we can withhold. You know what I'm saying? We can not spend. And that could be the start of, you know, the decline of this system. And that's it. And it's just that simple. People, we just stop. I hear people talk about, well, you know, there's a lot of black people that work for these businesses, and what would happen to them? I'm like, yo, but we don't even own none of this shit. We don't own anything. Let's just remove our dollar, take our money out of their banks. We can put it in the black institutions. We can shop black. We can only shop at one place. I'm gonna post up, because I started this boycott. Like, I'm not buying. I'm only buying what I need. So if black people could just start buying what they need, instead of just all of the wants, you know, all of the partying and the bottle drinking and just frivolous spending. Frivolous spending and hold your money. No frivolous spending. Just buy your food and necessities, your bills, your cell phone, you know, just the bare minimum basics for the next 6 months or so. That alone, if 60% of black people will do that, because we get $1 trillion a year, if we $700 billion of that, hold that, do you know what that can do? But, you know, again, people just, you know, they just see the surface. It doesn't work. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. I mean, how do you just think about it. Just think about it. $1 trillion. Shit hurt. $1 trillion?
Yeah, you have to have people willing to do that in numbers. Otherwise, it's not going to affect them at all.
Right.
Of course we got to do it. Yeah.
And I asked that question because I knew that you a little bit more, or maybe a lot more conscious than I am. And the way you responded is what I like, because I understand what you mean by Black Lives Matter movement ain't really going to change nothing, but it's good kind of just to slow them down or whatever. And
right.
I think we need all black people. We need all forms of consciousness. Like, we have some brothers that's radical conscious. You know, they just too off the top. We need them too.
Right.
Then we
right,
need the
right.
next level and the next level. And even those
right.
that may be naive, we need y'all too.
Right.
So we
right,
need
right.
all black people at all forms of facets to understand racism still alive and
absolutely.
How to combat it and the things we could do. And like you said, I agree, loss of life, loss of funds. You know,
right.
that's where it starts at.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to slow them down. Take the money.
We got to stop bickering
power.
With one another when it comes to
yeah.
racism. You know?
Yeah. yeah.
When it comes to racism,
yeah.
we got to stop bickering, unless you're just a black person and you just don't believe there's racism in America. Then we can't even talk.
Yes, we can't even speak. I know. Yeah.
yeah.
And crazy, there's a lot of black people that be like, well, those are the fake, because, you know, because there's a lot of working black folk. And, you know, some of them don't have to really deal with it. You know what I'm saying? So they don't believe that they don't exist. Like, you know. That's just crazy. What, like, you know, where you live at? Like, damn, it's crazy. You, they hate you more. The nigga that's got a good job, because, you know, nice salary, nice house, good family, you're the one that's most hated. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, again, people just got to be educated. They got to get up from under that rock, man. You know, people are just, they just used to, you know, their daily, you know, regimen of just getting up, going to work. You know, just the same old thing every day, day in, day out, but they don't look outside of that. You know what I'm saying? So they kind of lose touch with reality, because, you know, they lose touch because they don't deal with, you know, the shit that, you know, that a lot of people deal with. We go through this shit. We see it all the time. I get stopped all the time. I get stop me and just, you know, run my plate and, okay, have a good day. Like, what the, why you stop me? You know what I'm saying? Like, well, this is crazy. Well, see, we got to play the game.
Right.
We got to be smart. We're not going to beat them. We're not going to physically beat them. So we got to play the game. Remove the dollar, and you was after oh years and years and years, you will see economy buckle. But then this country is going downhill anyway. You know, I feel because of you know, it's just it. Is this in a bad place? You know, all this is. I mean, this is
right.
Well,
I just want to say that, you know, sometimes you hear people say, you know, you hear white people say they have the same opportunities we have. We just went to school and did what we had to do, and so on and so forth. No, you have
very well-educated black folks that go to school, but we aren't awarded the same opportunities that white people are. And,
right.
you know, I
right.
go for a position, and a white woman goes for a position, she'll get the position and probably a higher rate of pay than they would have paid me if they decided to hire me.
Yeah.
You know, the
yeah.
same for a black mm-hmm. guy, and the same thing that you said earlier, Rel, you said earlier about, you know, you business-wise, or you were going, looking into something, and a white guy came right behind you. They told you no, they couldn't offer that to you, and they offered it to him.
Right.
So
yeah,
we aren't awarded the same opportunities. You know, I know someone who's almost completed their doctorate, and they can't find a job. They were
yeah.
working in a sneaker store briefly because that's all that would hire them. Because
Absolutely.
You're overqualified, you're underqualified, or the job that you're perfectly qualified for, they don't want to give it to you. So it's
Absolutely.
Not that we're not educated. It's not that we're lazy. It's just that we aren't awarded the same opportunity.
Exactly. That's why we need to start to build, you know, our community, because we don't even own our community. We just live in neighborhoods. At least you see the Chinese and the Indians and, you know, everybody, you know, the Russians, they own their community, the Italian. They, whatever, you go to an Italian neighborhood, all of the shops are owned by Italian. You go to a Chinese neighborhood, all the shops are owned by Chinese. What do you see when you go into a black neighborhood?
Right.
The Americans, the Arabs, you got the Japanese nail salon, you know what I'm saying? You got we don't own anything. We don't own our own community.
Right, and those that we do own, we don't support.
Right, right.
Right.
Right. So, you know, again, we just it's all through education. We gotta prepare our kids, and it's crazy because we're the only ones that have to teach our sons and tell our kids that, listen, this could possibly happen. We have to have these conversations about
sure.
cops. There's no other nationality have to have this conversation, especially white folks. White folks don't have to talk to the kids about, you know, you could possibly be killed by cops because of your skin color.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So you mean to tell me racism is not alive? It doesn't exist? We have to have these conversations from young. Yo, listen, this can happen.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Very
man,
unfortunate.
Yeah, man, that's how you know racism is alive and well. And it's people that don't think it's alive and well, they're assholes. They're being assholes. They're racism themselves. All lives matter. How all lives matter if black ones only being done, being killed? How all lives matter? How? How, Sway? How? You know what I'm saying?
And if you're not preaching all lives matter every day of your life, it's an insult to preach it when just because someone's saying black lives matter. Like,
yeah.
I'm insulted by that.
Yeah,
I'm insulted by that.
Every time something happened to black, me too. Every time something happened to black people, everything else comes out. Oh, gay lives matter. All lives matter. But nobody's
yeah.
saying black lives matter, but just all lives
yep.
matter. Fuck out of here, man. Get out of here. And they're definitely, I know you're asking if, you know, if they fear us. Hell yeah, they fair as shit. Even put his white folks and put us, since he brought us over here, killed us, hung us in front of our wives and kids, burnt us alive for years, hundreds of years and whatnot. Slavery, just separated, just destroyed our family. So they're like, all right, if we give these niggas some power, some money or whatever, what are they going to do to us? Hell goddamn right, they say, if you so interested in. You're 60-some percent population. You make up 60-some percent population of this country, right? We only make up 13%. What is your why you want to wipe us out? Like, why you want to wipe us out? Why you hit us that bad that you want to kill us and have an agenda against us? You scared. You scared.
Right.
You scared. And in about 50 years or so, their population is going bad because they're mixing now. Black girls are having black dates. White girls are having black dates.
Right.
So there's not even no pure, you know, Caucasians. You know, that whole population is declining anyway. So now they're preparing. This is why the country is going down, because, you know, they're all preparing for some disaster. You know, because, you know, the elimination of the white race is declining. It's declining. There's no pure Caucasian people being born as much as it was.
Right.
So,
that's a good point. That's an excellent
Absolutely. 50 years, we're going to see. We're going to see the majority, who's going to be the majority in this country. Esther's
right.
going to be in America in 50 years.
I know that's right.
Know.
I know that's
the way
right.
things are looking. I don't know.
Let me go to a couple of stats real quick. The police has killed at least 102 unarmed black people in 2015. Which is nearly like two people per week. And 37% of unarmed people killed by the police were black in 2015, despite black people only being 13% of the population in the U.S. 13%.
Wow. Wow.
Just
13%. And you know what? I don't even know the stats on missing black people. I know it's high. I don't know the correct numbers, but where are these people?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, see, and then, you know, you got people that be like, I don't believe in conspiracy theory. I don't believe in any of that stuff. You know, I'm like, listen. People got to start looking, scratching the surface and see, you know, because it's all in glass. This shit is elementary. You can see. You can see shit if you just open up your mind. Just scratch the surface. Just don't look at the surface. Scratch it. And you will see behind that glass. I'm telling you, you will see. This shit is really simple. They put it in our face plain and simple. Every time they kill us, they don't care. Just letting you, just letting people know, listen, we don't care. Look, see, look, we're doing it. We don't care. What you going to do? Aha. All
right.
Matter what. Black lives
That's
matter
how
what.
I feel
ah,
about
ah,
it. That's how
ah.
I feel too.
And then you're going to protest, and then we'll just lock a bunch of y'all up again. That's all. Nothing changes. Like, nothing changes. You know what I'm saying? And all marching does is, to me, marching is, listen, it's just saying, look, oppressor, you owe me. You got to give me this. For real? Nigga, I hate you. I ain't got to give you shit. Why is that? You know what I'm saying? We don't think like that. We're actually
right.
we're, then what's crazy is you're protesting the system that you work for. Stupid. Like, come on.
So Johnny,
you go protest and then you turn around and go to work for the same nigga that you protested. Come on, are you serious? That doesn't even make sense. I gotta go to
Johnny,
work.
How
I can't
old were you when you?
Sorry.
How old were you when you first got stopped by the police?
Stopped.
Yes, when they first stopped you. Have they ever stopped you?
Hell yeah. So I'm black.
How old were you when they stopped you for the first time?
Oh, man. Let me see. That was my cousin. 14, 15, maybe somewhere around there. And it just, you know, we was walking. You know, it was night, we just walking, and it just whoop, whoop. You know, what y'all doing? We all right. We all going. We live here. We going up the block. That's all. All right. Flashed the lights in the face and kept it going. Yeah, I was about 14, 15 maybe. Maybe earlier. Maybe younger than that. I remember I was with my cousin.
I want to, for all those who's listening, I want to point something out right here. If you don't believe that there's racism, I wanted to point something out right here. It's
mm-hmm.
incredible. Just read off some stats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 37% of, and we only make up 13% of the population.
And mm-hmm.
what that means is that it's a disproportionate
injustice.
Let me just be clear here. What I'm trying to say is there's a lot of black people that's listening that don't understand what those stats mean.
Right,
and
right.
Part
right.
of the reason you don't understand is because racism has been going on for 400 years.
Right.
You don't have the knowledge to understand what she just said.
Right.
You went
right.
to school
right.
and everything. But
right.
how about your grandparents, your great-grandparents, your great-great-grandparents?
Right.
Did they go to school? They couldn't.
They couldn't.
So
they couldn't.
You're
yeah.
at a disadvantage of a white person listening right now. They have
right.
a better chance of understanding those stats than you because their
right.
ancestors were allowed to be educated who educated
right.
them.
Right.
So
right.
it goes
right.
back. It's not just this year. It's not just last year. It's not just the last decade. It's not since you've been born. It's
right.
before that also. Okay, sorry.
Right.
I had to just get that out there.
You have some people that don't understand what minority means.
Right.
You have
right.
some people, mm-hmm. they hear it being said, oh, black people, Puerto Rican people are the minority, right? What's the minority? What's the majority? You some people haven't been outside of their own community. That's their own world, you know, their own city.
Mm-hmm.
So in your city, you will see a bunch of black people, a bunch of Hispanic people. You will see all the minorities because that's your neighborhood and that's where you are. Outside
right. mm-hmm.
of your neighborhood, there's places where there's towns, freaking states, like with a crazy population that has no black people living there. There's places where that's not even close to being populated with any black people. There's people that probably never seen a real life black person because
yeah,
they lived in their neighborhood, in their community their whole life.
No, absolutely. No, you're right about that. There
so,
are white people that don't even encounter black people for real. For real.
Right. So what they see is the
mm-hmm.
closest thing they see to a black person is on television.
Yeah.
The violence.
Exactly.
Oh, you see the actors and the actresses, but you also see the news and you see the violence and you see the this and you see that. So there's so many people that are stuck in their own world or their own neighborhood that has never gotten out. So, again, people who have not gotten outside of the inner city, they have no idea what the minority means because to them, who's the minority? Look how many of us are here. Right. But you have no idea how many of them are out there.
Right. Exactly.
Right. Right.
Yep.
Right.
So we are the minority. I had an Indian coworker who argued me down that Indians are not minority. What? What? So for you to be a minority means it's negative.
Right.
Think
yeah.
about it.
Yeah.
What's negative about being a minority? Yes, you're a minority because you're not the majority. It's,
right.
It's nothing negative about it.
Right.
There's nothing
exactly.
negative about it. It means it's less of us than it is them.
Right, exactly.
It's less Indians than it is white people, so you are not. You are a minority just like me.
People think minority is just skin color.
Yeah, I know. I think
right.
That's pure ignorance. That's pure ignorance. Crazy, right? Pure ignorance.
Like, what are you saying? Like, I mean, that just got me, and then I just have to go and start looking stuff up and pointing stuff out. Like, come on now. So it is true. You need to educate yourself. Unfortunately, we have to educate our children of our chocolate children. Listen, if the cops
yeah.
stop you, don't make any sudden movements. I want you to come home. So it's not right, and it's not okay, but this is what you need to do to survive against the people that are here to protect you. They're going to stop you for no reason.
Yeah.
Don't resist.
Yeah.
That's all you can tell them. If they want to lock you up, let them lock you up. I'd rather you be locked up and alive. So it
yeah.
really is unfortunate, like Johnny said, that we have to teach our children that they may get stopped by the cops and this is what you do. You know, our
yeah.
daughters
crazy.
Not so much, but they still have to be conscious of what's going on because they may be raising
mm-hmm.
a black king soon.
Nah, man,
so
they gotta be taught too, and it's crazy because you know this is the 1 year, I ain't gonna say anniversary, but you know Sandra Bland was killed last year today. So
she was,
and then you know today is the year date that she was killed, and you know we gotta have this conversation with our daughters too, you know what I mean, especially our daughters because they the backbone of the community, man, of us, you know, so if they feel like if they can eliminate the majority of strong black women, you know what I mean? So they're coming after my black women, too.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
Johnny, we'd like to thank you for calling in, and but we appreciate
thank you
your comment.
Me. That's what's up. Thank
you
very
thank
much,
you.
And so I'll
thank
see
you.
Y'all next week. Tune in, for real.
All right.
I just want to say this before we close out, that you know, people march, and that's our way of saying that we're tired, we're fed up. Like Johnny said, it doesn't work. Because what happens? Everybody go back to work within a week time, and another one happens, and another one happens. We march for Sandra Bland. We march for so many people. The cops get acquitted. The Asian cop that shot the black guy in the stairwell, forgive me for not knowing his name,
Right.
He wasn't he found guilty but did no time? Like, come on, he was found guilty to say, okay, here, we'll give y'all that. But he doesn't serve any time. What the hell was the point?
Yeah, what the hell was the point?
So it angers us, it frustrates us, and we just have to figure out how to how our voices can be heard. And what Johnny said was very good. Keep your money in your pocket, because it would definitely hurt them there.
Absolutely.
And it would definitely hurt them there. But unfortunately,
but
we have to close out, even though we have so much more to say.
Yeah, we'll bring it back. Make sure y'all follow us on Twitter at SheIsIncredible, at @TheBlack_DrPhil, Facebook, The Art of Intimacy Show fan page, hashtag AOI Talk Show, Facebook, Instagram, we all over. You can find us every Wednesday.
Yes. And for topic and show ideas, please email us at TheArtOfIntimacyShow@gmail.com. And, we would like to end the show saying, yes, Black Lives Matter. We matter. We will see you guys next Wednesday, 9:30 p.m. Thanks for tuning in. Have a good night.
Open your mind, take in all the delectables. Yep, yeah, topics ranging from marriage to politics.
Word up.
Only the grown and mature can handle this.
Please,
they gon' change it from blog talk to hot talk.
Yeah,
real talk, real response,
non-stop.
Only talk radio keeps it moving.
Yeah.
Wednesdays, 9:30 p.m. Please tune in.
Yeah.
Well. In the beautiful. This incredible.
It's incredible.
You hear it?